Hello, this is Michael Stauffer for LittleShootMatters.org. Today, I'm interviewing Chuck Fisher, who is running for Littleshoot Village President. He is the current Village President, of course. And welcome, Chuck. It's good to have you here today.
Good morning. Nice being here.
Let's begin with some basic questions. Why are you running for office? Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're interested in serving the public as president of the Village of Littleshoot.
Okay. I've had 25 years of service to the Village of Littleshoot, and I do think that I have helped make Littleshoot a better place to live and to work. A little bit on my background. I majored in political science and history and Broadfield Social Studies. In graduate school, I've taken about 40 credits, I would say, in political science. And through that, I think I've developed a pretty good understanding of different forms of government, be it Marxism, be it democracy, be it autocracy. And democracy is, of course, a unique form of government, and I think it's a beautiful form of government. Sometimes it works quite slowly. The ancient Greeks, for example, the Athenians, every male adult voted. It was direct democracy. Of course, as populations increased, that became untenable, so we go to representative democracy. And I view my position as being one where I try to represent what is best for the majority of the people, while at the same time understanding that we have to protect the rights of the minority also. I also believe that I am fairly good at working with disparate groups, and I think this is important because you must be in a position where you're willing to compromise. The old definition of compromise being give up some of what you want to get some of what you want. Maybe it doesn't make everyone happy, but it keeps the engine moving forward. So I just feel I like to give back to a system that has given me a lot, and I guess that's bottom line why I'm running for president again.
Very good. You said you majored in political science and did graduate work as well. All of that was in reference to your teaching career, isn't that correct? You were a teacher for many years.
Well, actually, I did my political science graduate work before I decided to become a teacher. Once I became a teacher, I figured it was going to be just a short term, but I found that I liked it, and I adjusted and adapted to it, and had some very good years at it. After that, I also picked up a master's degree in American history, which I think also helps me in understanding the process that this country has been through, and mistakes that have been made, and correct decisions that have been made. And I think when one is aware of all those things, it puts you in a better position to make some sensible, successful decisions.
Oh, very good. Thank you for that. Let's move on to a question about the economy. The economy is on most people's minds right now, especially jobs. According to the Census Bureau, Littleshoot in Littleshoot, one out of every five jobs are created by small businesses with less than 20 employees. Another two out of the five are for mid-sized businesses with 20 to 100 employees, and over 95% of the businesses in Littleshoot are either small or mid-sized. How will you support existing small and mid-sized businesses and encourage the development of new ones?
Well, first of all, I would say we're very happy with our biggies like Nestle's, Bell, and other ones. But ultimately, small businesses are critically important. And whatever the village can do to assist small businesses, we should do. Now, it's easy to say that. What are some of those things that we can do? Somehow we have to develop an atmosphere that is conducive to encouraging new small businesses to start, be it we make little loans available, be it that we are willing to adjust zoning requirements, different codes and whatnot. I think we just have to try to do as much as possible to attract and keep and help develop small businesses. because it is basically the background of backbone, rather, of most every community.
Absolutely. And when we have some another question later on about the downtown, which mostly is going to be small businesses. But when you talk about the biggies, Nestle and Bell and the like, they're very important because from the big companies comes the other two out of the five jobs that I was talking about earlier. But there's sometimes companies like Nestle will be just a part of a much larger organization, Nestle America in this case, that have their main offices, where is it, in Chicago or someplace like that.
Yes.
And so working with the big companies is often a matter of working outside of the bounds of Little Chute. Are there any associations of small business people within Little Chute that you would work with or that you've worked with in the past? I can't think of any names off the top of my head. But
we have a Downtown Businessmen's Association, and we try to do whatever we can to assist them. It helps us keep monitor the pulse of what small businesses want and downtown businesses want. And we are always open to suggestions in ways that we can be helpful. And I would like to see us be able to do more of that.
Oh, very good. Thank you. The next question is about government finances. When we think about government finances, many of us immediately think taxes. But taxes are only one way to finance government. Fees are another means of generating revenue, and sometimes a hotly debated means. Fees can be paid directly to the village or to third parties for village-mandated products and services. How do you view the different use of fees versus taxes to fund activities of the village of Little Chute?
I'm a firm believer in the bottom line. If you pay $5,000 in taxes and nothing in fees, compared to if you pay $3,000 in taxes and $3,000 in fees, bottom line is I'd rather just pay the taxes and nothing in fees. Fees are okay. Like we have a fee we just increased by roughly $32 for the garbage collection system, and that's fine. But one thing I never want to do is say, hey, look at us. We did a good job. We didn't increase the tax rate. Well, I think it went up 0.17% this year, which is very good. But you must add in the additional 30-some dollars in fees paid there. Plus, we have other fees. And the more we increase fees, we darn well better not increase taxes. That's the bottom line.
That's a good distinction. One of the distinctions that I've heard people making is that fees that are paid for mandatory services are really taxes, whereas fees that are paid for services that can be avoided are true fees. An example would be fees for the pool membership versus the fees for the garbage collection, because nobody can do without the garbage collection. When it comes to fees for the pool, though, the argument is made that children use the pool, and children don't have earned income usually, or at least not significant earned income, and so there's questions of subsidizing the pool fees, and so there you have a traditional balancing act there. How much of the pool gets funded through taxes, the general levies, and how much through fees? How do you see, in a concrete case like the pool, how do you see that kind of issue being decided?
Well, I would like to make one comment on taxes versus fees that I think gets kind of to the heart of this. When 100% of the populace benefits from something, then I think it's fine to just have that all on taxes. Mm-hmm. If you have 30-40% that benefits from something, then I think fees are a little bit more appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Your reference to the pool, yes, We want to make sure that the children have the opportunity to use that, so I can see subsidizing it, but I also am in favor of continuing to keep fees. One other point on the fee business is, take public education. If I didn't have any children, I still pay for it. But it appears that we have agreed that it is overall for the greater good of the country to have an educated populace, and that repays it. So even though I might not have any kids in school, the product of that education is going to assist me as well as the country.
Yes, yes. Good analogy and good analysis there. Let's move on to the question about transparency in government. Wisconsin's public records law requires open access to village records for all citizens. However, getting copies of village documents can sometimes be complicated. For example, information packets given to village trustees in open sessions sometimes inadvertently don't include documents or include documents that the visitor packs don't have. Also, announcements about village contracts and agreements often aren't widely publicized. How do you propose making village records as freely available as possible to the public, especially in light of your earlier comments about making democracy work?
Well, first of all, I firmly believe that any document or documents that are not closed session should be readily available to all citizens. If this is not the case, I would certainly do what I can to try to rectify that. Now, I think one way that we can do this quite well is because of technology now. Websites are wonderful. I think we can put on the village website any and all of the documents that you may be referring to, and then everyone has access to them. And then we should publicize the fact to the populace that this is available there. If you're looking for something, just go to the website and find it. And if you still can't find it, let us know, and we'd better do something to correct that.
Yes, and of course you mentioned closed session, and there are other records which are off limits to the general public, certain employment records and personal information of various kinds. But there's a process within the village, isn't there, for actually deciding which of the records are closed and which of the records are open. It's a pretty simple process, isn't it?
As far as I understand it, and I may not know much about it, but I think it is relatively simple. If the decision is made that this is not for the greater good, that we need to protect somebody's privacy and that they have a legitimate right to that, then okay, I would just as soon keep those closed. I will admit on things like that, I depend a lot on legal advice.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for that. Our last question that I alluded to earlier and that you've already talked about a little bit, about the downtown area. In recent years, there have been some developments along Main Street, some welcome developments. Much of the focus has been on the Dutch Boys and the windmill projects, but these developments are both west of the Village Hall. And there's another section of Main Street that's east of the Village Hall. How do we develop the area east of the hall? And how do you think we can keep existing businesses and attract new businesses to this area?
I am certainly open to suggestion on those things. What we have done is we have fairly aggressively purchased areas so that we have land available for any possible new developments in that. We talked about the Downtown Business Association. Anything we can do to encourage that, we definitely want to do. The windmill, for example. There's a lot of faith from a lot of people that once the windmill is going, that will actually help the downtown. And if it does attract 20-some thousand people in a year, and they're going to have lunch there. Some might stay overnight. Some might want to buy some mementos and whatnot. I think this would be quite a stimulus to the downtown. But now that's the windmill, and I have no control, don't have any control over that. But I sure hope it happens.
Yes, there are some buildings in the downtown area that have been vacant for a while. From time to time, plans come up for those businesses, and of course, oftentimes the trustees and the village president are sort of used as sounding boards for some of those ideas. Is there a formal process for people sort of feeling out the village board for how good a fit a business plan might be, or is that more just a matter of individual business people calling their trustees or their president? How does that work? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I probably can't tell you a whole lot about it, but I can say that our plan commission is very active, and most anything that's going to happen comes through that. And I personally place a lot of faith in our commissions and committees, because people on the planning commission actually know something about planning. People on the library board actually know something about libraries, and so on. And so unless I have a good reason to oppose their recommendations, I tend to support them and go along with them. Whatever we can do to help the downtown and all of Little Chute, we just have to do it. And I don't think we should go in with a lot of preconceived notions or ideas about what is good or what is bad. A lot of that will come from the entrepreneur that's going to start something. And as long as it seems relatively rational, I would be definitely in favor of supporting it. You know, it's the way to go.
Sort of a market-oriented approach then when it comes to looking at new business development.
Well, sure. I mean, it's not a thing that we should dictate. It's a thing that we should react to and do whatever we can to help and encourage it.
Excellent. Thank you so very much, Chuck. This has been a wonderful opportunity, and I appreciate you giving us the time.
No problem. I enjoyed it.
Good.